Is it remotely possible I have even more random thoughts to share? You better believe it. So hang in there. We'll get into them. Welcome to this week's episode of the Juna Shalom Podcast. I'm your host, Juna Shalom. I'm a published independent author of 5 novels with number 6 in progress. I love writing. I love talking about writing and all the stuff that goes with it. It's in my nature to share my knowledge and experience with others. Much of what I've learned about the craft of writing, I've learned from other writers by reading their work, listening to them talk about their work, or reading about their process and experience as writers. The rest I've learned over the course of 35 years of writing and not writing and the School of Hard Knocks. In my podcast, I hope to share my knowledge with the goal of providing other writers with new tools, help them sidestep common and uncommon landmines, or fine-tune their process. And with that in mind, let's get started. Greetings and welcome back to the Juna Shalom Podcast. If you've been here before, and if you haven't been here before, welcome to the 45th episode. Bet you couldn't imagine that I'd have even more random thoughts, but I'm filled with random thoughts. But before we get into today's random topics, let's talk about the weather. So all week it's been in the low 30s, which normally by this time in the winter, we kind of acclimated a little bit. And so it doesn't seem as cold because we've usually gone through a super, super chill, sub-zero temps. So when it climbs into the 30s, it's like summertime. But this week it felt the 30 and 31 and 34 felt so bone chilling because there was a lot of moisture in the air. So that wasn't fun. You look at the temp and you go, okay, and you dress accordingly and you walk outside and go, oh, holy cats, it's freezing cold out here. This morning I woke up to a little dusting and low 20s. So we'll get down into the teens tonight, so that should be oh so joyful. But again, it won't be as jarring as when we first hit the 20s in December, because we'll have already been through it. So if you're new to the program, you're probably wondering, why is this woman talking about weather all the time? Well, it's kind of an ode to my grandmother, because as I've mentioned earlier, she loved talking about the weather, and the first time I ever heard her drop the F-bomb, which in those days, nobody said the F-bomb, not that I ever knew of. So she was so mad at one little cloud up in the sky that wasn't going to rain for her. She said, look at that effing cloud. My head snapped so fast and so hard, I thought it would come off, but that was just one of the funny experiences I had with my grandmother talking about weather. But it's a thing people can talk about and they can relate to. And I just like it. It's just one of those things that you do. And it's, I guess you could classify it as small talk or aimless chatter. But it's just a way to connect. And I like it. So there, if you don't like it, you can always skip through. Fast forward. So that said, one thing I wanted to mention is that a couple weeks ago, I started posting on BitChute. Still hard to say. I've been practicing, though. BitChute and Rumble. And I also started posting on Minds. So what happened? Well, aside from the fact that my podcast is on every single podcast streamer, I went from single digit listens a week to triple digit listens a week. Most of those came from BitChute. Rumble is okay, but for some reason, people are listening way, way more over on BitChute. So that's exciting for me. So I would just ask, when you listen, just kind of, I can see that there have been listens, but if you liked it, then give it a thumbs up or subscribe or share or whatever you want to do. So also on that, I realized that one of the favorite podcasts that I listen to almost every day, I don't listen to the podcast per se. I don't listen via a streamer. I don't watch via a video streamer. No, I listen to the MP3 that's posted on the website. And I enjoy that very much because I can have it on in the background on my iPad. And I can do other things while I'm listening without it affect. I don't have to just be sitting there staring at a video or having to have some kind of a streamer. And I don't, I'm going to make enemies this right now, but I don't care for apps. I just don't. It's like they're not full featured, most of them. And every single one of them has some kind of a learning curve. And it's like, I just don't care for them. So I am going to start posting MP3s. I think I can do this on my website. So if you see it on the website when this drops, then you'll know I was successful. If you don't, you'll know that I'm still probably tearing my hair out. Something I was thinking about because I ran across a few articles that I have to say got my hackles up a little bit. And they were articles about indie publishing and how indie publishing has ruined the book industry. Indie sales, yeah. And why do they say this? Well, I take a lot of these articles with a grain of salt because I don't know who's writing them. I don't know their motivations. And so I have to just glean any positives that I can get from them and move on because there seems to be always ulterior motives when you get these sort of national articles that they have an agenda. And also, you just can't trust comments anymore because there are so many paid shills to push a certain narrative. And I I look at them and I go, whatever. But what they're saying, a lot of people, or AIs, who knows who they are, were bitching and complaining that, you can't trust indie books, or you can't even trust any reviews put up on Amazon because they're fake and they're all five stars. Anytime I see a book with all five stars, I don't read it. Okay. Okay. And there's a lot of that. And I think I'm going to kind of give you a couple things I might feel about the whole thing. One is I think there are people who are snobs and they just can't bear the idea that somebody is going outside of the norm being previously being shopping your manuscript around to a thousand different agents or publishing houses and hoping that they'll deem you qualified enough or interesting enough or whatever to publish. And if you don't go through that route, then you're nobody. And if you do go through that route, ooh, you're so superior to everybody. And I think there are mainstream published authors who feel that way. And I think there are certain readers who feel that way. And certainly the publishing houses feel that way. And that's why, when I read something that's so, as somebody who reads, I read a book and if I don't like it, I don't like it. If I And usually I'll read reviews and see, you know, kind of get a temperature. It's the same thing with anything I buy. I read the reviews. I look at the bad ones. I look at the good ones. I look at the in-between ones. And I make my decision. Because I have to take it, all of them, with a grain of salt. Does somebody have an axe to grind and so they're giving it 1 star? Does somebody paid and they're giving it 5 stars, or somebody a best friend and they're giving it 5 stars? I don't know. So I have to take a chance. But I can say this, if I read a book and you read a book and somebody else reads a book and somebody, 7 other people read the same book, when we sit around and start comparing notes, we're all going to get something different from that book, because we each have individual experiences. We each have different needs for reading a book. We each have different expectations for the books we read, or anything that we buy or look at or whatever. So to just disparage an entire group of people, which is huge, the independent publishing community is huge. It has grown exponentially over the last 2 decades. So to disparage an entire group of people because somebody's, like I said, got an axe to grind, they're, for some reason, they're so offended by independence. And, you know, to me, this is a red flag. Now, have I experienced terrible books that are independently published? Yes, I have. And not that they're terrible stories, although sometimes, yes, they are. But I've read mainstream published books, too, that I thought, who thought this was a good story or well written? You know, I've been disappointed in both areas. But did I completely disparage the entire industry, the mainstream industry? No, I did not. So that kind of got under my craw over the week. I was just kind of thinking about that. So I just say, make up your own mind. When you buy anything, you're taking a chance. And if you, I mean, usually, okay, so let me give you an example of an experience I had. I bought a book off of the internet. I did my due diligence. I read the reviews. There weren't a lot of them, but it was something that I was interested in. So I looked at it. I looked at the chapters. Okay, that seems like, you know, a decent book. Somehow, I don't know that they had it listed or whatever. Somehow, I didn't see that the page numbers, how many pages were there. But at any rate, I bought the book. And what did I receive? A book with something like 24 chapters that were just summaries, vague summaries. So the whole book with the front matter, the back matter, some blank pages and huge type was about 30 pages long. And I paid $13 for it. Now, that was a situation where I thought I had been defrauded, because it gave me a different impression than what it was. And so, you know, I feel kind of the same way when I go into Costco and I like to look at the books they have for sale to see what, you know, what's the new style in interior design and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just blown away by these really thick books, and you open them up and they're like 18 point type and really, really large margins and stuff. And I just, and they want $20 for a hardcover. It's just not right. But anyway, so I'm rambling. It's random thoughts. I told you, random thoughts. Another thing, I did get some writing done this week, and good writing. Sometimes, you know, quantity is not better than quality. So I think I knocked out about 2,500 or maybe 3,000 words. Progress is being made. I'm inching toward the finish line for the first draft, so that's exciting. But I noticed I got to a point I was writing and my brain just said, it just checked out. And I thought, this is interesting. In my music teaching, I talk about the brain all the time. My students are like, oh, we're going to talk about the brain today. Yes, we're going to talk about the brain today. And I talk about this thing where the brain kind of likes organized chaos. And if you try to keep it focused too long on a particular subject or a problem or whatever, after a while, and of course I animate the brain, I give it a personality that a brain doesn't have, but, you know, just to push the point, make it more clear, the brain starts to go, oh my God, make it stop. Can't you do something else? I can't do it. And so the brain checks out. And I mean, it's still there, obviously, because you're still thinking and you're trying to figure out a problem and or you're practicing something and doing it over and over and over and you just don't seem to be getting better. That's because the brain doesn't care anymore. It's bored. So, and then from time to time, you'll go, oh, I finally got it. And the next day you go back to your keyboard or your guitar or your ukulele or your clarinet or whatever you're practicing on, and it's like you never practiced the day before and yet you were there for 3 hours. That's because the brain had finally had enough. It woke up, it said, there, how about that, you done now? And you go, yeah, I got it. And then it just forgets everything it did. So I think the same can be said for writing. I'm sorry, I skipped ahead. So a better way to approach problems or practicing or something where you need really, really a sharp brain focus and creativity is to break up your time at your task and break it up with doing things that are not quite related to what you're working on. So to use the musical example again, say you're trying to learn a song, and the normal way, or a way that so many people do, they start at the beginning of the song, they try to struggle through all the way to the end, and they go, okay, that wasn't bad, and then they go to the top and they start over again and they go all the way down to the bottom, and they do that over and over and over again. Well, that's when the brain just goes, oh my God, how many times are you going to play this before I die? So a better way to keep the brain engaged, just to practice a little section of it a few times, maybe 10 times over, and then do something else, do a scale or work on another song or work on your chords or something, and then do that for, you know, like 5 minutes, and then go back to your task and pick another area to work on that's different, and so on and so forth, so that your brain keeps going, ooh, this is new and interesting. Oh, how about this? Oh, that's neat. And I think the same can be said for writing. And I do find that let me oh, the random thoughts are battling. Oh, how exciting. Also, and when you're dealing with writing or anything creative, you also have the muse factor. Now, I don't know how many of you out there feel as if you have a muse helping you, but I definitely do. I have a wonderful muse, a muse that sometimes does all the work for me, and I just am along for the ride. I kind of come out of my little trance and go, holy cat, you were busy. Look what you did. And that was true when I was painting, and that was another thing. When I used to paint, when you're a painter, you have things that you want to accomplish in your painting, and you kind of hit a wall sometimes and go, how do I solve this problem? And you can keep dabbling and trying and trying and trying and trying, and pretty soon you just ruined your whole piece, as opposed to getting up, walking away, taking a walk, making a sandwich, maybe starting on another piece, something different to give your brain and your muse an opportunity to kind of get together and plot out the next amazing thing that you're going to do. So that's something I experienced this week, is, you know, a kind of a reminder, step away. You know, just, it's not just about putting words down so that you get to your 1,000 word a day or 2,000 word a day or whatever goal that you set for yourself. It's not just about quantity. You want quality. So if, you know, I can give you an example. Let's say you knocked out 10,000 words last week that were, that could be translated to blah, 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 blah. Nothing interesting, nothing really moving the plot along, just words. Or you wrote 1,000 amazing, incredible words because you took time to just let your creativity flow in, let your muse get recharged, let your brain get, you know, ready to just engage in whatever you're doing. So I think that's important, you know, and that goes along with this thing. Oh, you got to write every day. You got to write every day. Maybe it works for other people. It does not work for me and a lot of other people I know. It just doesn't, because you then look, when you're writing something really exciting and good and you feel super proud of it, how much better does that feel once a week than every week doing the drudge of having to sit down and make yourself write, even though nothing's flowing, nothing's happening, and you don't have anything to say, or you just, it's just, it's not what you want to do at that moment. How that, I don't know. That just doesn't work for me. And so that's what I have to say about that. In earlier podcasts and in my intro, I talk about talking to other authors and bringing them on the show to kind of pick their brains and stuff. And I have plans to do that. I have so much happening right now that I don't want to just do it randomly and not give it to the attention that it deserves. Because when I bring somebody on, I want to be able to have read what they've written, or at least a good sampling of it, and get some background about them, and, you know, just kind of have a lot more information so that I can get an interesting interview out of them. And so I just don't have time to do that right now with my teaching and writing and taxes. But trust me, I will get to it. And so please remember, if you like the episode, like it, thumbs up, share, subscribe, comment where you can. And I will be back next week with a scintillating episode. Or not. So long.